All right, welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video network that has been named by various government departments for censorship. They try to silence us illegally and unconstitutionally, but we're not the only ones. Joining me today is, in fact, my friend and colleague and longtime, I'm a fan of his work, Sayer G from GreenMedInfo.com. And he has also been targeted, as have many other people, because he simply goes through the research of the published medical research, finds things, and presents them to the public. And that is labeled misinformation, if you can believe that. But here to talk about truth and censorship and setting humanity free is Sayer G. Thank you for joining me today, Sayer.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a great honor, of course, to be on your show and to connect with you again over the years. You're one of the few people that I've come to really admire and trust as a true, if you will, independent journalist, which is very hard to find these days. And as far as natural health advocacy and advocacy around informed choice, parental rights, you inspired me early on before, you know, social media and even, you know, Green Med Info was an idea, because you were out there speaking truth to power on issues that became really prime advocacies of mine, such as, you know, sort of the weaponization of mammography and so-called, you know, attempts to save women's breasts, when in fact, overdiagnosis and overtreatment became one of the primary, you know, reasons why women unnecessarily suffered and ended up with things like their breasts removed or, you know, cancer from mammography radiation. So at the time, I was inspired by your work as well as Dr. Mercola, and I thought, well, hey, what a great idea. Let's just put up a huge website of research from PubMed that no one can dispute. It's the so-called evidence or scripture of our sort of modern scientism-based medical monotheism. And lo and behold, within a matter of a few years, like you, I became targeted internationally. Actually, we were just discussing this back in 2013. UNICEF published a specific report that it presented in Geneva. It was on anti-vaccine sentiment in Eastern Europe. And they claimed that sites like ours were spreading misinformation because we were sharing information necessary for informed consent, such as the unintended adverse effects of vaccination. And they targeted us as sources of, you know, information that was killing people. Sounds familiar 10 years later to the date, because this was published April 2013. So you and I have been in this for so long, and we knew before the world was forced to know the dark side of the medical, you know, industrial complex. So I really honor you for all the incredible work you've done, fearlessly speaking truth to power over all these years.
Well, those are very kind words, Sayer. Look, I greatly admire what you have done, and you have, because you have painstakingly gone through the research, and you have categorized it and keyword indexed it. And I mean, right now, I've got your website up here on my computer, greenmedinfo.com. People can go there and they can search for, you say, 10,000 plus health topics. If someone wants to know what's the published research on something like, let's say, prostate cancer, and what kind of herbs or nutrients may be associated with reduced risk of developing prostate cancer. Well, guess what? Green Med Info has that information. And so, you know, you help people do honest research that is published scientific literature, and yet you are attacked, you are named, as one of the so-called dirty dozen, I think, right? With the whole propaganda about vaccines. But, you know, look, they're not fooling very many people anymore with that, Sayer, because the public realizes that, oh my gosh, we all know somebody who died after taking the vaccine, or we know somebody who was injured after the vaccine. So people know they're being lied to. And doesn't that mean that the only way that the globalists can really dissociate people from the truth is to just try to tighten their suppression and censorship of sites like ours?
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, the thing about our websites is that what we're doing is we're offering the world access to information that has been a byproduct of literally hundreds of thousands of scientific labor years of taxpayer-funded research that's freely available for anyone that has an internet connection. And the fact is that they really want to target the messenger. They want to employ almost like a medieval-style tactic to, you know, pillory and torture individuals to make it seem as if anyone steps out of line or speaks up, the same thing will happen to them. So early on, and you were one of the first, actually, Mike, that I know that was deplatformed, which was such a validating feature of your sort of persona to me is that you were someone who was clearly going against the agenda and the narratives in a way that was make it or break it, you know, for the powers that be. So, you know, watching you navigate things, you know, over the years, I think encouraged others such as myself to stand even stronger in our core values, which are about as basic as human as having a heartbeat, you know, when it comes to like, I'm a parent, I have children, I have a right and responsibility to make sure that it's their bodies, it's their choice. You know, the mantra that the left, you know, held for so many years suddenly got, you know, shifted over to the right, almost rendering the left-right paradigm even more absurd.
Right.
Right. I mean, at this point, let's get beyond the dialectic, which they're always trying to energize in order to fragment, overwhelm, divide, and conquer. And, you know, what I've seen with you and even Joe, I had a discussion with him recently as well, is that we're going to stay founded in love and in a type of sovereignty that, you know, we're not consenting any longer to these agendas. You know, it doesn't work for us. And we have that power and sovereignty. We just need to speak up. We need to get around the gaslighting. You know, if they need research, as you said, yes, Greenman Info has 100,000 peer-reviewed published articles and translational articles on studies. The research is overwhelming at this point. You know, the internet made, you know, the excuse that you don't have information absolutely absurd. You know, we all know it's exactly a choice, right, to stay asleep. And this has really brought to the forefront, you know, the so-called declared pandemic, the fact that many people are still choosing to be asleep, but on some level, they all see what's going on. And it's people like yourself that have been, you know, staying true and strong to reality, as you said. Like we yeah, should be able to talk about reality. And when I listen to your situation updates, I'm like, wow, there's one person I can plug into and he's talking about reality. How refreshing.
Yeah, and talking about reality has become almost a crime in our distorted, twisted society. That's for sure. But I'm so glad to have you here today because I've been wanting to talk to you about a project. You know, we started a search engine project in 2019, right before COVID hit. And then it got put on the back burner because of a lot of attacks and so on. I haven't talked with Dr. Mercola about this, but we want to launch a search engine that simply indexes the sites that we trust. So it would be curated sites, a very limited number. It might only be 500 sites that are in the search engine. And I'd like to talk to you. I mean, we can continue this off air. I didn't mean to surprise you with this, but we'd like to index your research and then give you credit next to every search result. You know, have your logo there and people click into your site and so on. And also Dr. Mercola, although his content's harder to find now because, you know, it only lasts 48 hours on his website. But I'm so thrilled to see the journey that we've all been through, even Joe Mercola as well, has become such a fighter, such a champion for freedom of speech. And he didn't have to choose that route, nor did you or I, but we all deliberately chose that route to stand our ground and fight for truth and freedom. And in doing so, we are saving lives. That's what the overall emphasis I want to get across to people. Sayer, you have saved so many lives, you will never even know it. You have saved lives through your information.
Well, thank you, Mike, for that. And, you know, anyone who stepped out of the comfort zone and shared information that, you know, at the time that all this was being rolled out or deployed, probably more appropriate to use military language, you know, many people were afraid to share the truth. And there were many, you know, silent, you know, people that are still anonymous that risked everything to do that, you know, and so they're to be celebrated as well. Thank you, by the way, for this project, because in 2019, of course, was the great Google book burning event.
When, yes.
Right? Oh, my Lord. Overnight, Google, and this was actually just a few years after they received about $800 million of funds from GlaxoSmithKline and all these other, you know, associated, you know, agendas and monies came into Google. They basically eliminated all of us from the internet. 99.9% of the organic search results were just completely neutralized, eliminated. And so I do think that it is time for this type search engine, which I think we'd find a lot of, you know, support for. And again, I think you're on the cutting edge of that solution. And that sounds great to me.
Well, we've built, you know, several successful platforms like this one, Brighteon.com. It's been painstaking. It's been expensive. And we don't have venture capital money. We don't have investors. And we don't have banks loaning us money. So it's painstaking. But over the years, we've gathered, I think, the right amount of knowledge and experience in this space. And by the way, much better search tools, which also brings us to the question of AI. Now, as you know, AI can be used for good or bad. And right now, the big tech is busy trying to figure out how to use AI to destroy humanity and annihilate human knowledge. That's basically what Google is. It's an anti-knowledge search engine, right? But imagine, Sayer, if we could deploy AI to ingest all the research that you have done and all the articles that we have published and so on, Dr. Mercola and others, what kind of empowering chat GPT kind of, you know, rendition would that be for people, huh? Wouldn't that be cool?
That's an amazing idea. In fact, we originally created GreenMed Info on the open source Drupal platform for the fact that it was open source, which, you know, enables it to have all this amazing capability because a group of relatively anonymous developers wanted to create something better than, you know, proprietary software like what Microsoft creates. And so we were going to automate the ingestion of all the XML language from PubMed, which is available. They make that available using machine learning. And, you know, we got caught up in having to fight the battle of our lifetimes because we believe that you should be able to walk the earth without a mask on your face or get injected with transhumanistic technologies. It's amazing, like the level of, at this point, I'll just call it clown world because you have to almost like choose whether you're going to laugh or cry. And there is something about what's happening, which the hilarity of it alone is could be a source of enlightenment if you look at it that way. So I love the idea of utilizing the technologies that exist, you know, decentralized platforms as well. I mean, Cordal.org is a project that I've donated time and energy and resources to because I believe they're doing it the right way. So there are a lot of platforms that are attempting to decentralize and, you know, basically remove the sycophant parasitic third party, you know, authorities that really no longer deserve that name.
Well, this, see, you understand this, I think, more than most. And I'm really glad you brought that up because I really want to talk to you about this in more detail, even offline. But I believe that the future of of people's access to information must be decentralized peer-to-peer information. And in other words, it needs to be a system without any kind of central moderator or controller or filter, which means effectively, even you and I, Sayer, we have to find a way to bootstrap the technology that's currently very early stage and a lot of it's open source and some of it's pretty confusing. But we have to figure out a way to get us out of the loop, see? So like your site, GreenMedInfo, you know, you control what goes on there, which is great. You're a contributor, but you're also a pruner of information, which is necessary to shape the quality of the information. But imagine if GreenMedInfo could never be taken down because there's a GreenMedInfo peer-to-peer knowledge base that has 100,000 nodes running around the world, right?
Yes.
That's what Brighteon needs to be too. And I fully realize that. I know that the system that we built for millions of dollars will be obsolete on purpose. We have to make it obsolete. So what tech do you know of that can accomplish these things?
Well, that's amazing because I would love at some point to have a conversation with you and Jason Crow. He's the founder of Cordal.org, which is a project that he had to take a vow of poverty in order to create. They didn't do what all the 99.9% of the so-called crypto projects did. You know,
okay, give me the website so I can bring it up while you're talking.
Q-U-O-R-T-A-L.org.
Okay.
Yeah, so they didn't award themselves billions of dollars of basically, you know, digital fiat in order to, you know, go ahead and make a killing, you know, the so-called Wall Street 2.0 mentality. They went ahead and made sure that no one made anything until they minted or participated in the co-creation of a network of nodes that now is larger than Litecoin. You know, I think there's something like 12,000 nodes running. And what they're doing is providing an infrastructure for an alternative internet / timeline if they ever do hit the so-called kill switch on the conventional internet. So there's all these things that they built into it that would enable the removal of third parties for peer-to-peer information exchange, communications technology, for example, as well as value exchange. So it has a decentralized exchange built into it, but they don't allow themselves to use any kind of third party exchange, you know, for the so-called, you know, money lending, etc., just to game the system. They just don't want to be part of that. So it's an autonomous, you know, really self-organizing system. The one limitation, which I think you're bringing up, even with us, is that there's always some trusted human there that you have to believe in is not going to corrupt the code or somehow let everyone down. And eventually they want to be like Bitcoin in the sense of completely autonomous, decentralized, permissionless with no third party.
Wait. So hold on a second. The spelling I think is Q-O-R-T-A-L, right?
Yeah, you got it. Sorry if I
misspoke. Okay. There's no U in it.
Okay.
And, so. But I was able to bring it up here. Qortal, Q-O-R-T-A-L. I remember you sent me a link about this before, but I didn't dig into this. And this is part of the problem is that there's so much noise out there, it's hard to know. But what you're saying, I'm looking through it right now, is that this is a decentralization infrastructure that can carry different kinds of layers of content. Is that in addition to money?
Yeah. They actually have a replacement for the CDN system. So the name server system as well. So that basically it's not dependent on the choke points. Like, you know, Greenbit Info at any time could be shut down. Let's say the deep state says, okay, they're a threat to national security, which has already been determined because of the leaks from DHS that we've been identified as extremists and potential domestic terrorists, as is the case for National News, right? Because we report on true vaccine injuries, right? So that's an example. So there's a threat to us all to have these vulnerabilities. I've been debanked and politically targeted at my own daughter's entrepreneurial fair at her school here. I couldn't transact because I don't have Venmo because they deplatformed my business and me personally on PayPal, which owns Venmo. Uh-huh. So I was literally asking for a loan from my 11-year-old so I could buy a smoothie, you know, with at least some people had cash on them. But the point is like the Chinese social credit system is already here. I'm a personal target and we need an alternative. So that's one project that I've been keeping a close eye on. I don't know that it's perfect, but at some point I would love for you to evaluate it, because if it is going to meet your standards, then I know it is what I think it is.
Yeah, I'd love to look into that. In fact, I'd love to, if you can connect me with the creator of this system, love to have him on for an interview. I am actively talking to a lot of really innovative entrepreneurial-minded, liberty-minded people on a multitude of different projects right now, because I see the time is running out. We have to go decentralization for all the content. I mean, you know, you focus on medicine and health and nutrition and prevention and so on. But imagine, you know, we need a world where the truth can be said about everything, about, oh, what's the status of the war? You know, why are we even getting into a war? Why are leaders, so-called leaders, pushing us into war? Or what about elections? You know, what about the indoctrination of children? What about all these issues? We need to be able to speak freely. And thus, we need to be able to share content, which would be, you know, every kind, videos, PDFs, documents, articles, texts, emails, you name it, through a non-centralized system. In fact, did you know, Sayer, when back in 2012, on the Alex Jones show, I announced that I was looking into building some kind of a peer-to-peer video distribution system. It was too early at that time, but now it's a lot more mature and things can actually work where they couldn't work before. So I think we're at the right time for this.
Well, Mike, one thing I will also reflect to you is that what I've seen you do over time and get a lot of flack for is to anticipate sort of the moves of those who are truly pulling the strings, you know, all the way up to false flags, to all types of horrific possibilities or timelines. And because you got ahead of them, reported on them, and enough people realized, oh, wow, this is really likely given what they're seeing, they actually didn't do that very thing. So
right.
I feel like, right? So that's kind of why I like projects like Qortal, and I like the ideas of decentralization, because inevitably the whole end game is full centralization, which means infinitesimal control of every single movement down to, you know, nano biocolonization with like smart dust and all this other hydrogel, right? Encapsulated quantum dot, you know, all this stuff that used to be the, you know, the domain of so-called conspiracy theorists. Now it's just, you have common sense and you'll be called a conspiracy theorist, right? So I really appreciate looking at these solutions, because ultimately by us collectively putting our energy into those things, I think we actually are going to forestall and even prevent some of the darker things from happening. Like what did Orwell said, if you want a vision of the future, envision a human face being stomped at by this, like a boot forever. Like that's literally, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't it funny how you and I started out, we just wanted to help people not get cancer. And then it ends up, we have to become experts in like fractal quantum cryptography and distributed holographic network systems. And it's like, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the censorship. Like they drove us to this point to master all these technologies.
I mean, not to mention things like the same. I was dyed in the wool liberal, like Matt Taibbi recently described himself. Now the left is eating their own, you know, it's ridiculous. I always thought the Second Amendment, and I thought like gun ownership was crazy. You know, I had academic parents and I was completely brainwashed. Now I understand that that was built into the Constitution so you can protect all the other freedoms that you're supposed to enjoy that are very basic human rights.
Yeah.
So they're forcing people into a more radicalized position on issues that otherwise wouldn't really be that important. And so I think that, you know, it's so important, as you say, that we all have the ability to speak freely, have the, you know, spaces to do that, which you've created, Brighteon. I recently launched Unite.live, which is also a way for people to monetize their gifts. Because what I'm realizing is that Klaus Schwab's vision of the fourth industrial revolution involves basically disempowering the majority of the people on the planet. Whereas I think what we do need to do is embrace some aspects of the digital and empower people to be able to find a way to survive the economic, you know, implosions that are going to occur, you know, that are engineered.
And it's, you know, let's continue this line of thinking here. And by the way, thank you for taking the time here today. It's a real joy to speak with you, because you are someone who, you're a brilliant researcher, but you also have a big picture grasp of what's going on in the world. So let me ask you this. The very same arrogant-minded people who have been pushing GMOs or chemotherapy or now mRNA injections, it's the same mindset as those who are building AI systems that will destroy humanity if they don't stop this. So we are now at the verge of what could potentially be the last chapter of humanity. Do you think I'm exaggerating that, or are we right there?
I would never say exaggeration at this point in time, because absolutely what I'm seeing unfold is a bifurcation. You could call it a speciation, right? Ontological speciation, bifurcation, where there's one side of humanity that's still actually human, that still connects to their soul and basic principles of love and compassion and have empathy. And then there's the AI hive mind Borg system, which in many ways is being architected and then like basically deployed through the military industrial establishment's merger with the medical industrial establishment. You know, that's what's been most clear to me, is that the geopolitical weapon of germ theory is what literally took over the planet. And it's almost like endoparasitism, where like a little ant gets a spore on its antenna from cordyceps, and then suddenly it has this compulsion to go over to the branch where it literally turns into a mushroom.
Yeah, it's the zombie, right? Infestation, yeah.
It's ideological, you know, and the parasitism that's occurring, and people are on autopilot. A lot of it's engineered all the way from the time they come into, you know, this incarnation through medicalized ritual abuse, which is, you know, justified through all kinds of crazy
That's a good term for it, yeah. I like that.
Not to get too extreme, but, you know, one thing they'll do is they'll literally arouse an infant, you know, without anesthesia before they do a circumcision. And this is supposed to be justified medically. There's absolutely no justification for that. You know, so that kind of medical abuse, when you're coming into the world on top of all the obstetric interventions, which you have been such a great advocate of making the world aware of, we're so traumatized and captured that that's how we end up, you know, being captured by the system. And so I do think a lot of it, Mike, has to do with us working on ourselves and not, you know, going into like the new age extreme of it's all just, you know, it's all just about what you think, and it helps us to focus on healing ourselves, psycho-spiritually, emotionally, as well as physically.
Well, that's a really important point, because if you don't have your own life together, then these external impulses that are trying to destroy you can be a lot more effective. So more than ever, good nutrition is critical, because we're fighting so many things: chemical contamination, pollution, psychological manipulation, trauma, stress, lack of sleep, for example. And, excellent nutrition. I mean, frankly, Sayer, I don't think I would even be here functioning today if it wasn't for the nutrition that I have, and my smoothies. I mean, people tease me. They're like, oh, you're drinking Shrek's breakfast. That looks like, that's nasty. What is that stuff? Hey, this stuff's keeping me alive now for decades and keeping my brain functioning. There are people my age that have already died from heart attacks and, strokes and everything else. I'm not going to be that guy, because I don't eat, sausage and whatever for breakfast, bacon, I mean, we have to take care of our health in every way possible, and our minds and our souls right now, do we not?
Absolutely. It was like a decade ago that I found out Organic Valley was using vaccination, and that the organic USDA standards allowed that, even though you'd assume that they're not vaccinated with GMO ingredients and it's still certified organic. It is truly like spiritual warfare out there. It's been for a while. So, like, for example, Mike, I've been chewing on these organic grapes here myself.
Oh, nice.
Every choice, when it comes to what you eat, is so essential in this day and age, to maintain your resilience and deal with the ongoing assault of EMF and GMOs and toxicants and geoengineering gases. It's really quite remarkable.
But it seems like that has long been the plan, fluoridate the water, a neurotoxin in the water supply, a mass medication without diagnosis or prescription, which violates all medical ethics. I mean, it's completely illegal. Then you have the organophosphates in the food supply. I mean, no other species on this planet sprays their food with poison and then feeds it to their children, right? Humans do that. Why? And then, but this continues year after year, decade after decade, heavy metals poisoning, even a lot of gluten-free foods, high in cadmium, high in arsenic, right? What is that causing? It dumbs down the brain. And so you find yourself, if you're an informed individual like our readers and listeners are, you find yourself living among a population of zombies who are lobotomized, but who think that they know everything because they ran a search on Google and Google told them a lie and they believe it. And that's where we are.
I mean, that's what's most concerning to me, is the narratives that people are ingesting seem to be almost like automaton-like scripts. I mean, even emotionally. And we know that through digital twinning programs, they literally have this like holographic like dossier of all these data points that they're ingesting through our devices to create a twin of us. And then they're doing this like sort of like a new capital markets, like, betting on their behaviors. They're doing all kinds of weird things like that. That used to be conspiracy nonsense. If I had heard that a year or two before meeting Allison McDowell, I would have never believed it, but the research is out in the open. Like, so.
Well, let me ask you, because you really watch PubMed closely, you follow hundreds of journals, and you dig into the research. I'm guessing, but I want your reaction. It's only a matter of time before we have published scientific or medical articles that are practicing what I call imaginary medicine, which is when medical schools teach doctors to carry out imaginary procedures on transgender individuals. So, a biological man presents as a woman and says, I want you to perform an OBGYN examination, or just had my first period. These things are in the news, right? So have you seen anything, or do you think you're going to see anything in the medical research that is in this realm of completely imaginary medicine? We're making this up. Like, we have to pretend this biology exists.
I mean, that's amazing, because I could completely see that happening. And I do see a movement, some of it good, actually, towards digital medicine in the sense of informational drugs, which could include energy signatures that are downloaded and, sort of up into the internet, and you can download them into water, and create actual remedies for them. There's also digital vaccines. There are all these attempts to try to change thought patterns, you know, to immunize against misinformation, for example. So the type of language I'm starting to see seems consistent with they might at some point dictate that, you know, that's part of the standard of care is to play along and imagine a biological male as a female because that's somehow considered ethical or, you know, so yeah, I imagine that's possible in this world, in the clown world we live in.
Yeah, because I mean, it's already being taught in medical schools and, you know, you can imagine that if you see right now as a culture, if we don't go along with a person's, let's say, pronouns, then we are accused of hate speech or of being transphobic. So if a doctor doesn't go along with the imaginary biology, couldn't they lose their medical license at some point? Just like a doctor now, if they recommend ivermectin, which is rooted in reality, not imagination, they can lose their license. So if you say something true, you lose your license. And if you don't go along with something false, you might lose your license.
Wow. I absolutely could see that happening, unfortunately. You know, I think that the transgender agenda is one where you see it happening from the top down, right? There's billionaires that are behind the scenes that are architecting an agenda that, you know, capitalizes on gender dysmorphia and then further pathologizes, medicalizes it, and then ultimately it's a killing for the medical industrial establishment. So not to say there aren't people that are actually born of a soul type in the wrong body. This kind of thing does happen, but not to this level. And these billionaires and these multi-billion dollar companies, they don't care for individuals the way they propose they do.
Yeah, but even, and I'm glad you mentioned that because even a person who describes their existence as being born in the wrong body, if they're in tune with their soul and the world, they would say, okay, I'm a voyager. I'm in this biological system during this lifetime here. This is quite an adventure. And this biological system, maybe in their mind, is not the one they expected. But at least they should acknowledge if they go see a doctor that, okay, guess what hardware I'm bringing into the doctor's office here, right? Let's work with that. You know, I mean, I don't mean to drag you down the rabbit hole here, but that's I'm okay. Just saying that if your soul is healthy, you would acknowledge the vessel that you are in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, with the saturation of endocrine disruptors, metalloestrogens, you know, it's a miracle, Mike. I wake up every day and I still have a relatively healthy body at age 50. And it's because maybe you have this similar story. I was brought to natural medicine by necessity. It was life or death, right? Because we were, you know, I went through many surgeries on many medications. I know you had a similar story. And thank God for that, you know, and thank God for wanting to share that because that's what ultimately brought us to a point of visibility, success in delivering on our mission. And ultimately, that's what the powers that be took the entire, I guess, global military intelligence, corporate media, philanthropic NGO establishments, and they targeted us with them. I mean, I could never have imagined that I would have been that important relative to the Death Star-like energy that's been projected at us.
Well, you bring up something really critical. I'm glad. I mean, you're one of the few people I can talk with about this, but for many, many decades, the pharmaceutical industrial complex actually performed a kind of prescription medication transgenderism of sorts by getting people to self-identify with their medication. And you hear that in the language. Oh, I need to take my pills today. I need my prescription. And they don't feel whole without the medication. For example, right now, there are shortages of Adderall nationwide. I saw this in the headlines. And I've seen articles about this, people saying, oh, I'm not the same person without my Adderall, right? So an ADHD drug, which I think used to be called Speed when it was sold on the street. But isn't it true that, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say it was methamphetamine when the Nazis used it to improve their performance, right? And that's where the origin of it was. So yeah, but a nation of speed freaks, right? That's
right. Well, I mean, think about there are tens of millions of Americans that are in essence dependent on speed right now in order to feel like they are whole. Now, wow. I mean, that's you know, that's crazier than anything in the realm of transgenderism. That's like medical genderism in essence.
Yeah, that's, I love what you're saying, because for so many decades, we've been sort of engineered to identify with our sexual identity as the most important thing to talk about, you know, and now it's gender is a choice. And, you know, if you don't address me in the proper way, then I will freak out. I mean, so this sort of apotheosis of the ego, right, or this weaponization of the human ego around this very myopic sense of what the self is, you know, relative to the mystical union with the galaxy that's still possible.
Yeah.
For people, I mean, like, come on, people, are we really that like tangled up in samsara that we can't see through this? The agenda is so superficial on some level.
Oh, you're not kidding, man. That's a thing that gets to me too. Sometimes I really regret working in the muck of the distractions of everyday, you know, human civilization right now, when we are beings with such incredible cosmic potential. You know, our brains are broadcasters and antennas that receive information. We actually have an unconscious internet that shares knowledge and information just through our brains and our souls. That exists right now. It has always existed.
Amen. I mean, that's actually Erwin Laszlo. He was a two-time nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize. He was a Hungarian philosopher of science and physicist who wrote a book called The Akashic Field and Science. And he's talking about this field and how quantum mechanics helps us to understand how we actually do have access to what's the equivalent of the global brain or internet, but it's cosmic. And so,
yep,
you know, that's, you know, through prayer, through meditation, through other modalities, you can access that. And if humans knew how powerful we were, that's the, right? That's the whole point. They want us to think that we're like literally these flesh suits and barely like amoeba. Like if you have two functioning neurons, you're yes, no, left, right, Coke, Pepsi, like that's where they've got us, you know. And that's what we're here for, Mike, is to remind people that that's worth laughing about. That's not true.
Yeah, you're so correct. And, you know, Rupert Sheldrake talks about his morphic resonance or morphic fields. And I've done an audiobook on that called The Contagious Mind. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I talk about this as well. And what people need to realize is that merely by vocalizing an idea, just literally saying the words of an idea, that broadcasts it. Even if you're in a prison cell, you can broadcast an idea and you can help change the world by the thoughts on which you focus and what you verbalize. There's power in the word, even as the Bible says. The word creates reality. God did it, and then God gave us a fraction of that power for us to do something similar.
I love that. That's how I interpret we were made in his image, and I had no idea that you did that.
Yeah,
I'd like to take a look, because Rupert Sheldrake's work is extremely inspiring. And, you know, he and some of his colleagues have also been sort of canceled and, you know, defamed because they happened to step out of the orthodox way of thinking by, you know, a few millimeters, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm bringing up the site here to show you The Contagious Mind. It's a free audiobook that people can download. And I did a whole thing on this. And, you know, as long as we're on the subject here, I know we don't have that long left here today, but what I uncovered and covered, what I put in this book, there was research about crystals such as xylitol. Now, crystals learn from each other across the planet how to form new structures that allowed them to solidify at room temperature. And there are many documented examples of even pharmaceutical companies that were manufacturing specific molecules at different labs around the world. One vat in one country would start to crystallize and form a new morphology. And then within days, other crystals in other labs around the world would begin to form in the same structure. The actual molecules learn from each other of the patterns of nature. And the same thing was true with xylitol. Xylitol used to be liquid at room temperature, like 100 years ago. It learned how to form a solid. And then now no one can make it a liquid at room temperature because it always forms the crystal structure.
That's amazing. I'm a big fan of xylitol. Well, from birch, not the GMO corn derivative.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but that's amazing information. I knew that about the morphogenic field and how, yeah, it makes it easier to crystallize or do an enzymatic reaction, or behaviors generally become more common.
Yes.
I wonder if that can go in the the downside too. I bet it does. But either way, that's awesome. I didn't know you did this.
I did. In fact, I filmed the formation of xylitol crystals on my laboratory microscope over time and actually showed the formation as it was, quote, freezing at room temperature. It's really fascinating stuff. And I even gave a speech about this in front of a Christian audience in, I believe that was in San Antonio. I gave a talk about this, and they were totally open to it. And I said, you know, God created a far greater universe than what you've been told. And he gave you more power, in essence, than perhaps you've ever known. God made you in his image. And look at the abilities that you actually have at your fingertips if you just stop, turn off the damn TV. You know what I mean?
I mean, this is what's so powerful about anyone stepping forward into something beautiful or of higher integrity, is that it's like a holofractal crystal. And it has a whole world within it, like all kinds of timelines that aren't imaginable at a lower state, you know, of consciousness or intention or vibration. Become possible. And so that's such a great way of understanding why it's so important for anyone out there to do anything good, to, you know, speak the truth, to advocate for informed consent, or, well, better yet, informed choice, right? Parental rights, etc.
Yes.
Because that's how we change the world. Yeah.
Well, Sayer, you are welcome here in studio anytime that you're in Texas. Please just give me advance notice, pop on in, and we'll get you on set here. And also, reach out to me anytime. I'm a huge fan of your work. I'm here to help you in any way I can. I'll talk to you about the search engine project for indexing your site, if you're open to that. And is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up?
Well, thanks so much, Mike. It's a true honor, and I'd love to come out there to the studio once again. And I would like to just point out, before I came on, I went on SimilarWeb to look at the stats to try to see, okay, where does natural news fall within, you know, media? And I compared you to ABC, and they have 50% more traffic than you. I mean, that's it. So like when you, and that's just natural news. That doesn't count Brighteon. If we put the two together, you're probably eclipsing ABC. So I just wanted you to know that, like, that's such a great example of where alternative media was targeted internationally, because the people listening right now are saying, like, with anything like social proof or peer to peer, we value you, this resonates, it's true, we want more of it. And you did somehow find a way to navigate that and actually expand in a really beautiful way to serve that mission. So again, Mike, thanks so much. My hat's off to you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on, and happy to come back in the future.
Well, you're welcome back. And I'll just say that there are ways to penetrate the Luciferian oppression grid. But it's too much to go into right here, but maybe we'll talk about that when you're here in person. But it's not due to me. You know, there are higher powers at work here that are pro-human and pro-life, you know, in a greater sense. I don't mean just about abortion, but pro-life, pro-creation, okay? So that's who's on our side. That's why,
I wouldn't
be here without allies.
I feel the same about myself, so I'd love to have that conversation with you. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, Sayer, bless you. Thank you for all your work and all that you do. And again, you're welcome here anytime, so reach out. Keep me posted, and we'll see how we can collaborate on some other projects.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye. And for those of you watching, thank you for this, for your attention here, for this intriguing interview. I love talking with Sayer. He's got a brilliant mind. His website is greenmedinfo.com. And of course, go there, use it, do research. I have people asking me questions all the time. So what's the best herb for, you know, kidney stones or whatever? Just go to Green Med Info. Just type it in, search for it. He's already done the work for you. Or Natural News is a great resource too, but Sayer has done he links to all the studies that nail that down. So use his website, share his website, use this resource that has been put together for you, and it can help save your own life and the lives of others around you. And as always, feel free to repost this interview on your own channels and other platforms. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for listening today. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. And I'm always excited to talk about all the different solutions we have for personal health. Today, check this out. We have black cumin seed oil here, which is really potent. It's just an amazing product, and it tastes great, unlike a lot of black cumin seed oil products. This one actually has a very nice taste. Check it out. In fact, if you go to the website, healthrangerstore.com, I've got that page up here, You can see you can buy a 6-pack of this if you wish, or you can buy it in smaller quantities. You get the full description and the ingredients here and some of the ways that it supports your natural body functions as well. So check all that out at healthrangerstore.com. We've also got here an amazing instant coffee. This is really delicious. It's a great barter item. And of course, it's fair trade coffee. Of course, as you know, we test all our products for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and much more. Did you know that coffee can often have high cadmium in it? It's true. In fact, cadmium is one of the things that gives coffee its kick. Yeah, I know it's crazy, but actually ingesting cadmium can make you feel temporarily energized, even though it's poisoning your system. The same thing is true about mercury, by the way. Interesting history about toxic elements. But we run all the tests in our mass spec laboratory, ISO accredited, you know, audited, inspected, and this is all certified organic, of course. So lab tested plus organic plus fair trade, instant freeze-dried coffee. You can get it right now at healthrangerstore.com. Here's a 3-pack. You can get it, or you can get single packs if you want, or we have number 10 cans of this as well, as you can see here on the right. So a great barter item. It's also just really delicious and really portable. And we thank you for your support. Again, healthrangerstore.com. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.